And welcome into the 2 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness here on ESPN Central Texas. Craig Smoke, your boy Q, and Stephen Simcox producing, and we've got a big one on Saturday. The unbeaten Baylor Bears heading into Fort Worth, enemy territory, to take on a feisty TCU squad, and there's a lot of questions on both sides, and hopefully we can get some answers to some of those questions on the TCU side, as we're now joined on the phone lines by Grant McGalliard, who covers TCU for Dallas Morning News as well as Frogs of War. And Grant, we certainly appreciate your time this afternoon. Obviously, a lot of the discussion this week for the Horned Frogs has been about the quarterback position, so let's start there. Go ahead and just give us the answer who's going to start on Saturday. I kid, but what is your understanding as of Thursday on what TCU is looking at as far as their quarterback position?
Sure. Well, I think anyone who tells you that they know who's going to start on Saturday at this point is lying to you. But what I think we can do is make some educated guesses. The kind of rumors that have been swirling around are that Max Duggan has an injury to his middle finger, whether that's a break or a torn ligament, we don't know. Duggan is willing to play. He's a tough kid, and I think if he is able to go without further injuring himself, I would imagine that they at least give him a shot. If it's not Duggan, then it will probably be Matthew Downing, who is a redshirt freshman transfer from Georgia. His brother Michael Downing was a defensive back linebacker for TCU a couple years ago. Haven't seen any of him. Patterson says he's a smart quarterback. That's all we know about him. So it's up in the air. If I were a betting man, and I am, I'd say probably both Duggan and Downing see snaps on Saturday.
What was your total understanding of the whole Alex Delton situation? I mean, I know he left the school. I know they're talking about playing time was the reason, but it just, to me, just feel like it was deeper than that. What do you know about it as far as as far as that goes?
Yeah, I do think playing time was the reason. I think there were a couple of incidents throughout the year where just watching from, you know, whether it was on TV or in the press box, Delton looked kind of frustrated that he wasn't getting more playing time. For example, on Saturday against Oklahoma State, Duggan went out with the injury in the fourth quarter, and they sent Delton onto the field, took him back off, and put in Michael Collins, who then got hurt a couple plays later. So it was probably incidents like that, just kind of small things throughout the year, and I think Delton kind of saw the writing on the wall that Duggan was the way TCU wanted to go moving forward. So it all kind of came to a head. And, you know, I think everyone on TCU will tell you that they like Alex Delton. It just didn't work out.
I know the quarterback situation has a lot to do with this, Grant, but Jalen Reagors seemed to find something the last few weeks, or they found something in the scheme to get him open more. What have you seen lately in the last couple of games that has allowed him to have some more success down the field?
I think they've just been throwing the ball more in general. It's that, and it's the emergence of Tay Barber, who's another kind of a speedster that the defense has to watch out for. So whereas in the first few weeks with TCU's wide receiver core being so injured, all the focus was on Reagor. Now that Barber's back, Mikel Barkley's back, Pro Wells has emerged as kind of a tight end receiver hybrid, the defense has to cover more guys, and so Rager's able to get those one-on-one coverages, and so he's able to capitalize on those.
Grant McAlliard, who covers TCU for the Dallas Morning News as well as Frogs of War, here with us on ESPN Central Texas. That defense is deadly as always. I mean, anytime you face TCU, you know they're going to have a good defense. I know that there were expectations maybe going in that they were going to have a little bit of a drop-off, and maybe that's been seen at times, but how do you think the defense has come together with a lot of young guys out there and some veterans, of course, but how have they sort of come together as the season has progressed?
Yeah, I'd say 90% of the plays, they're playing really well. They just have a tendency to give up big plays in inopportune times. But, you know, Jeff Gladney, is still an extremely good cornerback. Our Darius Washington, who's a freshman, has really emerged in the secondary. And Ross Blacklock's having a good season at defensive tackle. You look at Garrett Wallow at linebacker, who just makes every tackle he possibly can. There are a lot of standouts, and for the most part, TCU's defense has been solid. But there's still areas where Gary Patterson wants to see improvement, most notably at defensive end. O'Shawn Mathis was projected to be a really good player, hasn't really developed into that this year. Shamik Blackshear comes in from South Carolina, defensive end, and hasn't shown much. So that's really where TCU struggled, is getting the pass rush from the defensive ends, and that's kind of led to a lot of problems for the Horned Frogs this year.
Baylor's defense is a lot more improved than it was a season ago. They're not giving up as many big plays as they did. How do you think that TCU attacks or tries to find an area to attack on that Baylor defense?
Yeah, that's really kind of goes back to whether or not Duggan's healthy. But I think anyone who's watched TCU this season will tell you that when the Frogs throw passes over the middle of the field in kind of medium range situations, that's when the TCU offense excels, because it allows TCU to sustain drives. They can get the running game involved. But for the most part, when TCU's offense is struggling, it's because every pass is either a go route 50 yards down the field or a bubble screen or a short 3 yard out. So if TCU wants to kind of pick apart that Baylor defense, I think medium length passes are the way to do it. Pro Wells, again, I mentioned him earlier, has this one crossing route that he runs. It's really the only time he catches a ball, but he's wide open every time he runs it, and he scored a couple touchdowns on it this year. So those medium range passes, I think, will be key for TCU, especially if Duggan is healthy, to kind of develop a rhythm.
I know they break out that wildcat package, that wild frog package with Seiwo from time to time. And there's been a lot of talk from both fan bases about maybe you see Rager back there as well. If the quarterback situation is kind of up in the air, Grant, do you think we could see some kind of wacky or unorthodox sets from the Frogs offense to try to spell that and then create some confusion?
I do. I mean, you saw it last year when TCU played Baylor. Michael Collins was the starter in 2018. He went out in the first quarter, and Grayson Muehlstein came in, third string quarterback. But Muehlstein only threw 15 passes, and Jalen Rager took a lot of snaps back there. Seiwo Alanilua took snaps in what TCU calls the wild frog. So, yeah, if TCU wants to kind of muck up this game like they did last season, then that's certainly a way to do it, just to make sure that, you know, you get the ball to your best players as quickly as you can. And in this case, it might just be snapping it to Jalen Rager, letting him, you know, kind of work wonders.
Matt Rhule has been very complimentary of Gary Patterson and what the TCU program does. I mean, he was gushing about them yesterday. At the same time, you can tell he's very serious about this game, very locked in on this game, and has not been happy with the way they performed in it the last couple of years where he's been head coach. On the flip side, you know, what is Gary Patterson's talk this week been in regards to Baylor? What kind of a message or sense do you get from him as far as this matchup goes?
Man, I think Patterson really, really respects Matt Rhule, and I think he likes him a lot. And he even mentioned that, too. He said, you know, if you're a college football fan, obviously if you're a fan of TCU or Baylor, you want the other team to lose. But it's good for this rivalry for both teams to be good. So I think Patterson really respects what Matt Rhule's doing. He really likes Charlie Brewer. I know TCU recruited him a bit out of Lake Travis. But this is a different relationship that TCU is in with Baylor than it was, say, when Art Briles was there. There's a lot more. It's not as kind of contentious as it was back then. And maybe that's because TCU's won four straight. I don't know. But I know Patterson wants to win this game very badly, even though he does continuously show his respect for Matt Rhule.
What is your gut feeling about this game? How do you feel it's going to shake out on Saturday?
Yeah, I think it's going to be dirty. I think TCU is going to try to make it kind of ugly like it was last year when it was 16-9. But I think Baylor's too good of a team for that to really work. I don't think TCU wins this game. I think it's kind of it won't be a blowout because the Horned Frogs defense is too good to prevent it from getting there. But somewhere around, 27-13 Baylor, 24-17, somewhere in that range. I think it's going to be a two-score win, but nothing that really stands out on the score sheet.
There are pretty high expectations for this team before the season, and I know a lot of that depended on who ended up taking snaps. But, Grant, at this point, what do you think would kind of salvage the year for TCU? Is it just bowl eligibility, or what does this team have their sights set on?
Yeah, it's definitely bowl eligibility. I think throughout his career, Patterson has talked about how important bowl games are, especially getting freshmen, sophomores, more reps in practices. Players talked about that as well. Gervonta Heights mentioned it on Tuesday at the press conferences. They all want to make a bowl, and they know that that's a great way to get better. This was a year where TCU had a lot of expectations, but they might have been 1 year away from being a year away, if that makes sense. So I think next year is really going to be sort of where you see TCU push 9 wins, push 10 wins, whereas this year they just got to scrap, beat one of Baylor, Texas Tech, and West Virginia, because Oklahoma is going to be a tough task. To get 2 wins in that stretch and then make a bowl.
Have things kind of calmed down as far as the sort of tension we saw maybe earlier in the year with Sonny Cumbie and Gary on the sidelines? I mean, I know it never got to be an ugly situation, but does that seem like it's at least smoothed out a little bit from maybe where it was a few weeks ago?
I think it's not quite as contentious as it was a few weeks ago, yes. I think Patterson likes Sonny Cumbie a lot. I think there's mutual respect there between those two guys. And the offense has improved from what it looked like earlier in the season. TCU gets off to slow starts a lot, and I think that's because the Frogs don't really open up the offense and start throwing the ball until the second and third quarters. So if there's any contention there, that's where you might see it. But, yeah, I think there's too much mutual respect between the two for it to kind of get as for there to be any animosity, at least outwardly.
Well, speaking of slow starts, Baylor, a team that also has slow starts, so this might very well be a 0-0 game that it explodes into something else over quarters 2, 3, and 4. We'll see, obviously, on Saturday. Hey, Grant, thanks so much, man, for your time this afternoon and for your insight. You can find Grant, of course, over at the Dallas Morning News, where he covers TCU, also at Frogs of War as well. And the podcast will be up here in just a little while, but you can find him on Twitter at Grant McGalliard, McGalliard, at Grant McGalliard on Twitter. Thanks so much, man, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Have a good day.